Bibles tonight into John, 1 John chapter number 4, 1 John chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians 9:15. The Apostle Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. A gift so rare, a gift so precious, a gift so indescribable that all we can do is thank God for sending him. Thank God for letting us experience him. Thank God for proving how much he loves us. He doesn't just say, I love you. He proves how much he loves you. And in 1 John chapter 4, begin reading at verse number 7, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Aren't you glad tonight that God's love?
Amen.
Amen. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Our Father, we thank you to Lord tonight for this time together in your house. We thank you, God, tonight for your unspeakable gift. We thank you, God, tonight for your undying and unfailing love. We thank you, God, tonight for being so good and so merciful and so kind unto us. We thank you, God, tonight for looking upon our sin and looking upon our helpless state, dear God, tonight, and sending your Son the unspeakable gift of love into this world that he might die for our sins, Father, though we were unworthy, God, of every precious drop of blood that he shed on that old rugged cross. We thank you, God, tonight for each one that is gathered here. May you stir our hearts, stir our souls, and stir our lives, Lord, and help us, God, to be drawn closer unto you, and help us, Lord, to find a greater appreciation in this Christmas season. We thank you, God, for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Rick, would you get me another cup? The Apostle John is telling us about God's love toward us and his gift to us and what he's bequeathed upon us. And as we go into the Christmas season, we think about buying gifts and buying presents and giving gifts and exchanging gifts. It's a picture and a token of what happened that first Christmas when the wise men came and they brought gifts to share with the Savior. And it's a picture and a token of what God has done for us. You know, he tells us that if we love him and if we are like him, that we're going to be like him. And if God was benevolent, if God was giving, it behooves us to be the same way. It behooves us to be generous and to be loving and to be kind and to bestow upon people things that will bring joy to their life. But sometimes we get gifts and we are wondering what to do. Last night we was at a family gathering and they had a white elephant gift exchange. I'd never heard of such a thing and never seen such a thing, but we was there and we had a great time. And the thing of it was that some of the gifts were very good gifts, and some of them weren't real good. Some of them were gags. Some of them were just something that everybody was trying to get rid of and everybody was trying to pass off. But praise God, let me tell you something. The gift that God has given is a gift that everyone needs. It's a gift that everyone is really in need of and can't do without. But yet some reject it for the foolishness of the world. Amen. Look at the gift that God has given us. And let's look at a few verses of Scripture here that's to help us to focus and to think on just what it is that God gives us. In verse number 9, he says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You know, one of the first things you do when you get a gift is, can I use this? Amen? Now, don't tell me I'm the only one that wonders, is this useful? Or is this not useful? You know, you give me a fry. Last night, somebody got a frying pan. They don't need to give me a frying pan. Amen? The only thing I'm going to do is pass it on. Amen? It's not going to do me a whole lot of good. Amen? That there's things that you get that are just useless to you whatsoever. There's no use for it whatsoever. You look at things and some people get gifts and say, yeah, I'll be re-gifting that. How many here has never re-gifted? I didn't think so. Amen. Amen. Sometimes as soon as you see something, you say, yep, that's a re-gift. That's going in the re-gift box. That'll be going on down the pike here soon. Amen. Because we know it has no use to us whatsoever. Amen. It has no quality to add anything to our life or to do anything for us that's helpful or needful. But praise God, when He sent His Son to die for our sins, He sent His Son, and this was manifested, the love of God to us, and that He sent His Son that we through Him might live. I tell you what, there's a gift that everyone needs. I don't know about you, but I enjoy life. Amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy eternal life. I haven't lived eternally as far as I'm aware of yet, but praise God. I know I'm an eternal being just like God is, because if I've been in the mind of God and God's eternal, amen, I'm always there. Amen. And I'll always be there, whether in heaven with Him or in hell. Amen. Mankind will always be there. But praise God, He give us the gift of life that we might live through Him. And it's a gift that everyone leaves. It's a gift that most in this world today refuse and reject. They're happy with being walking dead men instead of walking life, walking living men. Jesus instructed the disciples over there in Peter. He says, and He's begotten us unto a lively hope. You know what that means? A living hope. That word lively means alive. It means been made alive. Amen. I was dead in my sins and trespasses, but praise God, in Him I live. I was dead and on my way to hell, but praise God, in Him I already have eternal life. Amen. I got a gift that nobody else could give me. I got a gift that is infinitely more valuable than everything I possess in this world, including my wife and my children. Amen. Because I can be in hell, and my wife and my children can do nothing for me. Amen. A lot of people put their families before God. Amen. Family's more important. I had somebody crazy enough to tell me one time that God instituted the family before He instituted the church. Who is the church? Who's the head of the church? How could the family have been instituted before the church when Christ is the head of the church and Christ has always been before the family ever existed? Amen. Amen. Don't come to me with nonsense, because I'm going to give you fact. Amen. That was there. God instituted the family before He instituted the church. Hogwash! Amen. He came to give us life because people want everything in this world besides what He's got. Jesus said, the thief cometh but to break through and to steal. He said, I've come that I might give them life and give them life more abundantly. Praise God. I've never known any joy in this world like the joy of serving Jesus. I've never known a life like living for Jesus. I've never known peace and happiness and joy and contentment like I have a living with Him and for Him. Praise God. I'm thankful for an abundant life in Jesus. And you want to talk about something that is useful, something that is needful, something that will carry you through. Praise God. Try finding life in Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know life in Jesus, you don't know what life's all about. Amen. If you're not saved, you really don't know what living is all about. The only thing you know about is dying. Amen? Because that's all you're doing is dying. every day, every second, every moment that ticks away, you're dying. You're one step closer to the grave. You're one step closer to splitting hell wide open. You're one step closer to an eternity separated from God. But praise God, because Jesus came, because God loved us enough to send His Son, He came that we might live. And not just live, not just exist, but we might live abundantly. And not just live abundantly, but we might live to glorify Him and to bear His image and to bear His marks in our life all around. God's gift supplies our greatest need and therefore is the greatest, most useful thing that could ever have been bestowed upon man. Nothing in this world can replace what God give us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The life that we have, Paul said, the life that I now live. Amen. You know why he said that? The life that I now live? Because Paul lived a dead man. Amen. Paul lived a dead man for many years. Paul lived a dead man. He was a highly esteemed man, but he was a dead man. Amen. He was a powerful man, but he was a dead man. Amen. He was a sought-out man. The Pharisees and the priests no doubt sought him out and used him because they could send him to do their bidding and to persecute the church. Paul had a reputation. Paul had stature. Paul had a place. And folks looked up to him. But Paul was dead as dead could be in his sins and his trespasses. And one day on the road to Damascus, he met the giver of life. Amen. And he received that gift of God. And now he writes about that unspeakable gift. And now he writes about the life that I now live. What's the difference? Now he's alive. Now he's on fire. Now people around the world know that he's Jesus' ambassador. Amen. And everything that he does to give glory. The life that I now live, amen, is to give glory for God. Amen. You want to talk about a useful gift? I'll tell you what. Something that brings life. I'm going to use Brother Tom back here for an example. Tom's got diabetes real bad. Tom is dependent upon drugs. He takes insulin. Matter of fact, you all notice, if he'll stand up, you can see a little cord, a little piece of tubing running up from his belt. Tom has an insulin pump that pumps life into his body. Because without that life, Tom's body is going to shut down. Tom's going to die. Amen? If I went and took Tom's insulin pump from him and took his medicine from him, the greatest gift anybody could give him is another insulin pump. To give him more insulin to pump life into his body. You see, that's just exactly what Jesus Christ does to us. Amen? He takes people who are dying, people who are dead in their sins and trespasses, who are going to die, and He pumps life into them. And there's no greater gift than you can have than that. No greater gift you could give Tom if he didn't have his insulin and he didn't have his pump is to give him that life-sustaining, that life breathing medicine that he needs in his life. You know why? Because without it, he's a dead man. Folks, tonight, without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, without Jesus Christ in your life, without Jesus Christ as your Redeemer, you're a dead man. Amen? And there's not a gift you can get any greater than the gift that God has given you in His Son, Jesus, which is the gift of life, that through Him you might live. We see a gift and we look at the cost of a gift, and sometimes folks, they spend money, and you say it's too much. Sometimes people get upset because they give an expensive gift to someone, and someone gives them something that wasn't quite as expensive, and they look at the cost. They look at the price, and they look at the condition from which it comes. You know, the greatest cost that has ever been paid for any gift that has ever been given was when heaven was bankrupted. Amen? When heaven was bankrupted, for God to send the greatest gem and the greatest jewel, the greatest treasure that man has ever had the privilege of possessing into this world. You know, men search the world over trying to find treasure, trying to get rich. I watch Gold Rush sometimes. I get frustrated. Sometimes it's the dumbest bunch. I don't see how they can keep working as dumb as they are sometimes in the things that they do. But they do. But they're trying to hit the mother lode. They're trying to find that one place where they're going to get rich and find gold beyond, as the old man says on the one bunch, they find crazy gold. They're looking for it. People jeopardize their life. There's the curse of Oak Island, and people have been looking for this treasure on Oak Island for 100 and some years or a couple hundred years now, different ones, and several people have lost their lives in hunting this treasure at Oak Island, and they're drowning and getting crushed in all kinds of horrible ways, asphyxiated, that people have died trying to find this treasure. They're looking for something that's going to make them rich. They're looking for something that appears to have a great wealth and great worth in this world. But Jesus said in his Bible, I said, if a man finds a field and he realizes that there's a pearl of great price there, he's willing to sell everything that he has to possess it. He's willing to sell everything that he has to obtain it. And praise God, he looked down upon this lost and dying world and he's seen his creation. He's seen those made in his likeness and in his image that were bought under the curse of sin and that needed to be redeemed. And praise God, he's seen a pearl of great price and he was willing to give everything. The Bible says that a man finds that pearl of great price, he'll go and sell everything that he has that he might buy it and that he might possess it. God gave everything that heaven had to purchase redemption for a church. Greatest cost that's ever been paid. Over in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, he that spared not, or Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things? Give us all things. He spared not his own son. He purchased our redemption with everything that heaven had to offer. Heaven had nothing else that it could give. He gave everything that he had because God himself became our sacrifice. He became our purchase price. He became the cost of our sin. Man, you want to count cost. Think about that for a moment. I like that song Mike Worth sings, I may not be worth much, but I sure cost a lot. Amen. God was willing to give everything for me. God was willing to hold back and spare nothing that he might redeem me. Look at what he says here in our text in verse number 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved us so much, he gave us everything he had. Amen. Anybody here ever give everything you had to someone who was undeserving? Give everything you ever had to someone who didn't care? Give everything that you had so someone else could have something so precious and so dear and so needful and so useful as what eternal life is. There's none of us could do that. None of us would do that. that God loved us so much. That's why Paul said the gift is unspeakable. How can you even fathom what God has done to give unto us the gift of eternal life, the gift of eternal salvation, the hope that goes beyond the grave, the hope that goes beyond our last goodbye here, the hope that endures through all eternity. We can never afford it. We can never pay. We can't even fathom it. Yet God loved us so much and never even hesitated. He done had a plan in place before the foundations of the world. He done eyeballed you and eyeballed me, and he done made a plan to purchase us and to give us the greatest gift that man has ever known, that gift of salvation before the world began. Look at verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That word ought isn't a question. That word ought isn't a should we or shouldn't we. That ought is an affirmative. Amen. See, if you got a gift that has great value to you, if you got a gift that has great worth and great usefulness to you, it will obviously have great effectiveness to you. It's something that you use. Now my wife, she don't just go out and buy me things. She tries every now and then. She thinks about it and then she says, I better regroup here and I better make sure I'm getting the right thing. Because there ain't no sense in getting me something I ain't going to use because I ain't going to use it. Amen. She found some shoes on sale one time. And she told me 15 times, I needed these shoes. I didn't like them. I told her I didn't want them, but they're on sale. I'm telling on you. And she bought them anyway. Because they were on sale. And they were my size. But I didn't like them. And I never wore them. Till the day she gave them away. Because they were useless to me. I don't care what they cost and how good a deal it was. They had no effective value to me whatsoever. They couldn't affect me one way or the other. Because I wasn't going to use it. But let me tell you about the gift that God gives us. The God gift is the gift of life. The God gift is the greatest gift that has ever been purchased. The God gift is a gift that can make a change in you. It has an effect upon your life. And effectively does what needs to be done to bring you to the place where you need to be. Look at what the Bible said there in verse number 11. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We need to begin to take on the image. We need to begin to take on the mindset. We need to be able to start to take on the desire that God had in his heart when he sent his son to die for our sins. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's going to change our vile body. He's going to effectively do something that makes us what we need to be, that has a positive effect upon us in our lives. He makes us, as he said over there in 2 Timothy, vessels of honor. He said in a house there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. You know, there's important things we have. There's unimportant things we have. But the most important thing is to be a vessel that is used of God in everything that we do. That should be our desire. That should be our goal. That should be the effect that Christ has on our lives when he lives on the inside. Amen. And then we ought to start acting like Christ. We ought. We ought. Amen. We ought to act like we've received God's precious gift. Amen. And that on the inside, we ought to start acting like Jesus. So that on the outside, we start looking like Jesus. Amen. That should be our goal. That should be the effect that God's gift has upon our lives. You know, sometimes folks get exercise equipment. Amen. Now, and if it's utilized, the exercise equipment's almost like salvation. Most people hate it. Most people reject it. Most people stay away from it. Can I get a witness? Amen. Y'all, you can fess up or not. Amen. I mean, look at us. We can tell. Amen. Paul did tell Timothy, bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Amen. But praise God, we need to start acting like, and we need to start looking like, and we need to start functioning like what He wants us to do, that we can see that what God's gift has done in our lives, and it has begun to work an amazing thing. John here in 1 John chapter 3 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. It should be our desire on the inside to have the desire like Him, that we ought to love our brethren. It ought to be our desire that on the outside, when people see us, they can say, He loves one another. He loves me. I'm lost and I'm laying here in the gutter of sin, but yet He loves me, and He's come to tell me about Jesus. He's come to tell me how to be saved. He's come to tell me that I can have what He has. Paul or John says, we're not yet there, but we're getting there. Peter says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. Amen. We ought to think like Him. Amen. We ought to walk like Him. Amen. And we ought to look like Him. Amen. And when we accept His gift, we realize that our greatest need is the need of salvation. Lost and on our way to hell, without no hope outside of Jesus. Many people play around with God. They play around with salvation. I'd like to take you sometime on a trip to the cemetery. I think it'd be a good church trip sometime. We'll just go to the cemetery and walk through the cemetery and look at the graves and look at the dates on the graves. And we see the 5-year-olds that have died. We see the 10-year-olds that have died. We see the 15-year-olds that have died. We see the 20-year-olds that have died. We see the 25 and the 30s and the 35s. We all think that we have more time. We all think there's another opportunity. We all think there's another chance. But the cemetery tells the truth. Amen. We don't all have that. We don't all have that. And we can deceive ourselves. And we can reject God's gift. We can deceive ourselves and we can spurn the cost. We can deceive ourselves and we cannot let it have an effect upon our lives, and we can die and split hell wide open. We can accept the gift and rejoice that we was worthy of the cost and not let the gift work its effectual work in our life and not be vessels meet for the Master's use. Either way, the decision's ours. We got a lot of lost people in our church. Some of them are fooling themselves. Some of them are lying to themselves. We was talking in Sunday school class this morning. You know, there's a litmus test in God's word for truth. Amen. He said, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth is, if you don't have Jesus in your heart and you try to act like you are, you're nothing but a liar. Amen. Amen. The truth is, if you got Jesus in your heart and you're not living like you should live, you're not doing like you should do, you're a disappointment. Amen. You're a vessel that can't be used. You're a vessel that has to be cleaned up and made ready first. And the truth of it is, tonight God has sent his Son, his unspeakable gift, that we all might partake. We all might share. We all might have it. And some of us possess it, but we don't possess it well. Some of us have spurned it, and we really need it. And the thing about it is, the only one who truly knows is you. Is you. Nobody knows but you. You can fool the preacher. You can fool your parents. You can fool the Sunday school teachers. You can fool everybody. And I can give you a real good example of that. Becca Dixon. If I had to bet money, if I had to stake my life on whether she was saved or lost in some kind of an outrageous thing, I'd be a dead man. Amen. She played the game so well. She knew the game. She loved the Lord. But one day she realized, I don't possess the Lord. He's not in here. I've went through the motions, and I've been taught how to go through the motions. But you know what? Nobody knew but Becca. Nobody knew but Becca. But she gave her heart to Jesus. Amen. 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 She gives testimony to that. Nobody knows but you. Nobody can be sure but you. And tonight as we stand, our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looks.